good morning, everyone. If it's not morning, then good afternoon or good evening, whatever. My name's Aaron Dowd, and this is the seventh episode of The Podcast Dude, a show about making your podcast better and being awesome in general. Thanks for joining me today. Thanks, everyone in the chat, for hanging out, being here. I really, really appreciate it. I got a good show today for you guys. This topic is close to my heart because I'm a big fan of podcasts. And it seems like a lot of people struggle with getting good audio quality from their guests. Interview shows are, I think, one of the most popular forms of podcasting. A lot of people either interview people every week, or they have a co-host that they talk to every week, or they have a co-host and they interview people. And sometimes they even go out and interview a bunch of different people and cut all this stuff up and put it together. But I think it's really, really important to have great audio. I've turned off more than a few shows because the audio quality was just terrible and it was hard to understand the person and painful to listen to. But let's imagine this real quick. Picture in your mind right now and tell me if this sounds familiar. So you think of someone you want to have as a guest on your podcast. You email them to ask and they agree. Awesome, right? So you schedule time, and when that day comes, you jump on Skype to record the show. But, your guest doesn't have a good mic. The room that they're in sounds like it's massive, and there's a bunch of echo, and the air conditioner sounds like a jet plane. Their Skype connection keeps dropping, which means that you're going to have to do a bunch of editing to make the conversation make sense. Bummer. When you get the audio file from them, and you ask them to record a local track, right? But you discover that it sounds like they're 10 feet away from the microphone. There's a bunch of echo and it's really hard to understand what they're saying. So what do you do at this point? Scrap the episode? Fix up the audio as best you can and publish it? You had a pretty good conversation and you think your listeners will enjoy the content, but the audio quality is almost unusable. I'm going to go on a rant right here. You guys know what I'm tired of? Yes, that's right. Podcasts with guests that have crappy audio. And maybe you've experienced this before. I just did the other night. A podcast that I really like that I listen to regularly had a guest who sounded like they were using the built-in microphone on their MacBook in a noisy room, and it was painful to listen to. There was no warmth. There was no bass frequencies, and there was so much echo that I struggled to hear what the guest was saying, and the dynamic range was all over the place. So I was constantly having to turn the episode, the volume, up or down. And this is a mistake a lot of podcasters are making. When I asked some of the people that I do editing for why they don't get higher quality tracks from their guests, they mumble something like, well, they said it's the best they can do. And you know what? It's not your guest's fault. It's your fault. So we're going to put a stop to this right now. First, you don't owe the guests. This is a win-win situation. Now you have to ask yourself when you're inviting someone on your show, why do you want them to come on your show? I hope it's because you think their audience will enjoy hearing them talk about themselves or what they do, or you're just going to have a good conversation. But still, ask yourself, why do you want to talk to this person? What are they going to get out of coming on your show? And they should benefit from coming on your show. You should be able to clearly explain how they benefit from being on your show. So here's a couple examples. If this person can talk relatively well about a subject, they will be seen by your audience as an expert. They'll have a chance to talk about their product or service, and they'll generate personal or brand awareness and maybe even new work opportunities. Maybe they just like you and they want to talk to you. That's okay too. But most people like talking about who they are and what they do, but you really should make sure it's something that your audience will be interested in hearing about as well. But you're providing this person a platform to spread their message. You don't owe them. You're doing marketing for them. Their name is going to be on your website, on Twitter, in front of potentially a brand new audience, and however many dozens of listeners you have. Okay, I'm just kidding. You might have more than a dozen, but so this is good for them too. Stop feeling like you can't tell them what to do because you totally can. You know why? Because crappy audio is a crappy experience, and people will associate them and their brand with a crappy experience forever. Maybe not forever, but for a while. So you need to have this conversation right away, right up front. And if you're interviewing someone that you know has a good mic and is familiar with recording, like another podcast, someone who does a podcast you listen to, or that you've heard on podcasts before, they sound good, don't worry about it. It's probably fine. But if there are a lot of people that aren't semi-professional podcasters, you just need to have a conversation with them and explain why audio quality matters. So I put together a three-step argument that you can present to your guest to kind of explain the importance of this. Now, number one, and this is you speaking to the guest. So you can actually go in the show notes and copy and paste this stuff if you want. Use it, please. I need you to sound good because I don't want a single listener to tune out or get frustrated with the sound quality. This may be that listener's first time hearing your name or hearing you speak. If you sound good and they like what you have to say, this could be the start of a lifelong friendship or a customer for your brand. If you sound like crap, they might be vocal about it, but more than likely, they're just going to turn the show off and forget about you. And that's wasted opportunity. And number two, I want everyone to be able to clearly hear what you have to say. To do that, we need to make sure that you can record a clean audio track in a quiet room. Big empty rooms with lots of echo are not good for recording. The echo will make it hard for people to understand you. And if they can't understand you, they will turn off the show and give their precious attention to something else. And third, I don't want anyone to remember you as the guy or gal that sounded like crap on a podcast. It's important to make a good first impression. Some of you might be thinking, yeah, Aaron, but most people don't care that much about audio. I think you're wrong. They do. Most people just don't know how to explain what's wrong with audio in proper terms, so they either oversimplify or they don't say anything at all because they don't want other people to think that they're stupid. The reason audiophiles, musicians, music nerds, and studio engineers are always complaining about sound quality is that they've learned enough about the terms to describe the problems they're hearing. A normal person probably doesn't know what dynamic range is, so they might just describe a track as being too quiet or not being normalized. And a normal person might hear a track that needs de-essing and think that it's uncomfortable to listen to, but they probably couldn't tell you that there needs to be some decibels removed from 5,000 hertz. I want you to grow your audience, not mildly annoy them. I'm sure that there are many people who won't complain to you about the audio quality, and they're probably the really nice people. But for your show to be successful, you need a base level of quality. You don't have to buy a $3,500 mic and sound like NPR podcast. True story, I read an article the other day, I think Dan Benjamin posted a link on Twitter, was like, how do the shows sound so good? It's like, well, they use a $3,500 mic and get up close to it, and they got studio engineers that know how to fix up the sound. But you don't have to spend that much money on a microphone. I'm using about $500 worth of gear right now, a Shure SM7B, and I know I don't sound amazing. I don't sound like NPR, but I don't think I'm going to annoy anyone with my sound quality. The audio has to be good enough and not have a lot of room echo, huge differences in volume, or sharp high-end frequencies that hurt your listeners' ears. That's the baseline. And Corey Miller in the chat room says, you need a base level of quality. I see what you did there, Corey. Okay, so you have to walk your guests through the recording process in advance. Now, most guests probably won't be recording in the same room as you, so you'll need to ask them to record a track on their computer, and you should also record the Skype call. Most podcasters use Skype to talk to people. It's a really, really easy way to have conversations online. But Christopher asked in the chat earlier, what video audio conferencing applications do you recommend with working with offsite guests? So I've talked about Skype. You can also use Google Hangouts or FaceTime. They're all going to be roughly about the same. But the important thing is to ask your guest, scrap that. The important thing is to tell your guest to record a track on their computer using QuickTime or Audacity or GarageBand, depending on whether they're on Mac or Windows. But tell them to record a track on your computer. Tell them that this is important because you want them to sound good. You can record, and you should record, the Skype conversation with a program like Ecamm Call Recorder, Audio Hijack, or Piezo for Mac. And if you're on a Windows machine, there's a free program called MP3 Skype Recorder. But I found another program called Pamela, which I think you should invest in. It's either $20 or $30, but it'll give you the option to record a .wav version of the call, of the Skype call, which is higher quality than MP3. And for the price, I just think it's a good idea to invest in that higher quality. So I also wrote up a pre-show checklist for recording. And this is actually going to be something that you can go to the show notes for this episode, which are at thepodcastdude.com/7, and copy this. And I'm going to finish writing up like an email template that you can send to guests to introduce them to this. But it's really important that after you first have the first contact, so after you email someone, I think it's a good idea to schedule time to talk about the audio setup, because it's kind of easy to blow someone off over email. But if you get them on Skype, you just say, hey, I want to go over the recording setup with you, make sure everything's great. This is really important to me. So if you get them on Skype and you say, all right, what kind of microphones are you using? You know, what do you have? Like, where can you record? Where are you going to be the day that we record? Those things like that. I think you should do that in advance. But okay, so I made a pre-show checklist for recording. And this is you speaking to your guests. So you tell them, I'll be recording the Skype call, but you should also record a track on your computer using QuickTime, Audacity, and GarageBand. And I've included a link to a tutorial video that the very nice guy known as the Podcast Dude created for you. If you've never recorded a track using QuickTime, Audacity, or GarageBand. So I actually created a video where I show, like, I just do a walkthrough of opening up QuickTime and Audacity, selecting the microphone, hitting the record button, stopping it, and then exporting that file for sharing later. So you'll also, and you tell them this, you'll want to make sure that you're wearing headphones while you're recording, and then make sure you have your microphone source selected in both the recording software you're using and Skype. Because if you, for whatever reason, if you end up having to go back and use a Skype call recording as the audio for your show, like say the person actually forgot to hit stop or they run out of space on their hard drive mid-recording, then you have a backup. So, and you got to talk to them about internet connection too. Ethernet connections are better for audio quality and more reliable than Wi-Fi. So tell them if you have the option, use an Ethernet cable. Either way, you want to turn off Dropbox syncing and any other cloud or backup services that may take up bandwidth, as they will degrade your Skype connection and cause lower quality audio or dropouts. Headphones. Talked about headphones a little bit earlier, but tell your guests they need to wear headphones to avoid causing echo that will disrupt the show. Never let them use built-in computer speakers, internal or external, on the call, as this will cause echo because the sound will come out of their speakers, your voice in this case, and it'll go back into their microphone. So now you've got your voice inside of their audio track, and you don't even want to try to mess with editing that. That's a nightmare. It's a pain in the butt. So tell them, have to wear headphones. Make sure they choose the right microphone in recording software in Skype. And I know I'm repeating myself a little bit here, but I want you guys to really get this, because these are the important things that you have to tell them if you want to get good audio out of your guests. You can tell them, oh man, microphones. So a lot of people, if they haven't done a lot of podcasting, or they, for whatever reason, they don't have a good USB mic or a really nice XLR mic, they're probably going to try to either use the built-in microphone on their laptop or those little Apple earbuds that have the microphone built in. So it's like an inline microphone. So tell them, if you're using Apple earbuds or any other headphones that have a built-in mic, make sure you select, if you have another mic, make sure you just select that mic in QuickTime or GarageBand or Audacity and Skype before hitting record or getting on the call, because you will have the option to use those. If, you know, say, like in my case, I'm using a Shure SM7B. I've got a Scarlett interface. It's plugged into my computer. If I was using, I'm using Sony MDR7506 headphones right now. But if I was using those white Apple earbuds and I opened up Skype, there's a good chance that Skype would think that I wanted to use the microphone in those earbuds to record with instead of the interface that was plugged in. I don't know for sure that that would happen, but it's happened before where someone plugs in an interface, they have a nice mic, but they open up Skype and they record that, and oops, Skype selected the built-in microphone on the laptop. And all of a sudden, they've got a track that sounds like crap. So you got to make sure that if you're using those headphones, they choose the source that they actually want to use, not whatever's default. But yeah, Apple. Oh, another thing about Apple earbuds. If they don't have any other options, if you really want this person on your show, and in my case, if it was me, I would just say, look, this is the quality I need to have. But if they only have the Apple earbuds with the inline microphone, you can tell them that you can actually get pretty decent sound quality out of it if you hold that microphone away from your chest and kind of hold it, you know, a foot in front of your mouth. What happens in the problem with the Apple earbuds is that if they're just kind of resting against your shirt, if you plug them into your ears and they're going down, plugging into your computer or whatever, I hear this a lot. The microphone will rub against the shirt of whoever's wearing them and cause this like weird little scratchy sound. I'm going to try to recreate that. I'm just going to rub my my pop filter foam thing on my microphone real quick. So I don't know if you guys can hear this. It's like that, but throughout the entire episode. And it's terrible. It's annoying. It's distracting. People don't appreciate that. So tell them to hold up the little microphone if that's the only option they have. And yeah, you can actually get pretty decent quality out of that. It's surprising. Assuming there's not a bunch of room echo and background noise. And Sam in the chat says, my Apple earbuds rub on my beard. Yes, that happens too. I heard the first time I ever heard Aaron Draplin on a podcast, he was wearing Apple earbuds and talking into the mic. And I'm pretty sure the microphone was rubbing on his beard. So that guy's hilarious, though. I like him. Not great sound quality for that episode, though. And tell people, if they don't want to spend a bunch of money, but they want something a little bit nicer than the Apple earbuds, I did a little bit of research yesterday, and there's a USB headset by Plantronics that is the Plantronics 628 USB headset, and I've included a link to this in the show note. It runs $22 on Amazon right now, and I don't think that you're going to get great sound quality, but at the very least, it's an upgrade over the built-in microphone, and or at least I think it is. I haven't actually ever listened to it. I just wanted to present you guys with some kind of option in case one of your guests was like, I don't have anything and I don't have any money to spend on this because audio quality isn't important to me. Again, you need to explain that. But it's the Plantronics 628 USB headset is $22, has some good reviews, and I think that will work a little bit better than the Apple earbuds, if only because they won't have to hold out the little microphone in front of their face the whole show. That'll get tiring if you're having a 45-minute conversation. Okay, moving on. You got to talk to them about recording location. Tell them it's important to find a quiet room to record in, preferably one without a lot of natural echo. And if you have to record in an office, try to find an isolated room away from people and foot traffic. If you can, hang a sign that says something like, on a call, do not disturb. And I've done this from my own house because a few weeks ago, I was about to record a podcast. It was like 15 minutes before go time. And I have everything set up. And this guy that mows my yard just came and started banging on my door. And like this room that I'm recording in right now is the complete opposite side of my house, which is not a big house. It's a 2-bedroom house. But it was picking it up in the microphone because he was just beating away. And I was like, what are you doing, man? And so I go and I talk to him. He's like, yo, do you want me to mow your yard? And I'm like, not right now. And I'm trying to record a podcast. So what I did is I just tore a piece of paper out of my notebook, got a piece of tape, and then I wrote on it. I said, recording in progress. Do not disturb until after 1 p.m., I think is what I put, because that's plenty of time for me to record my show because I start at 10:30. So now I actually keep that little sign, which is really just a piece of paper. I keep that over by my front door and I hang it up on the window anytime I'm about to start recording. So you could do that for your show, but you could also tell your guests to do that if they're in a situation where people might come by and just randomly want to talk. And Albert says, you can make it official and laminate it. Yes, you could. Actually, I'll have to find this and put a link in the show notes. I saw a Kickstarter where you could buy this sign that was like on air. It was pretty cool. You podcasters might appreciate that. But you need to tell them that the recording location is important. Try to find a quiet place. Try to find a room that doesn't have a lot of echo, that's not going to get a lot of foot traffic. Hopefully there's not a super loud air conditioner in the room, because that helps. So again, I really want to reiterate that it is your responsibility as a podcast host to talk to your guests before you get on the Skype call with them and hit record. You got to make sure they understand what's going to happen. This is about setting expectations. You can't just email on someone and say, hey, I'd like to have you on the show. Let's record at this date and assume they're going to be able to show up and sound good. That's not being responsible. That's not being a good podcaster. I think having that conversation beforehand, not just an email, because what I'm worried about is you sending a email template like the one I created, sending that over, and your guest is super, super busy, and they just take a glance at it, and then they archive it, or they forget about it. And then the day comes, and you just assume that they took a look at it, and they understand, and then they show up, and they don't have a microphone. And you're like, what the heck? Didn't you read my email? And they're like, oh, yeah, it was busy that day. Sorry. Well, you know, yeah. Could we do this? I'm kind of busy. You need to have that conversation up front. And I think it's okay to say no to people or to tell people that you're not going to have them on their show if they can't follow this process. Because like I said earlier, if you have someone on your show and they sound like crap, that doesn't reflect well on them. It doesn't put them in a good light. And I don't know, it might even be a waste of their time, especially if you're not happy with it. If you're not happy with it, your listeners probably won't be happy with it. And something else I want to talk to you guys about, and I might do a future episode about this, but I'll touch on this real quick. Getting on Skype with them a little bit early to discuss what you're going to talk about during the show is also a really, really good idea. And I didn't write this down in my show notes, but I was thinking about it this morning. And I think I do want to do a whole show on it about preparing for your episodes with interviews and stuff. But a lot of people might be really, really nervous, especially if you've come on strong and been like, I'm this professional podcaster. I take this really seriously. They might be intimidated and worried about how they sound, how their audio is. So if you get on the call with them a little bit early and say, hey, we're just going to talk. We don't have to start recording yet, but let's just talk about what we're going to talk about. How are you doing today? Build up a rapport. Let them get comfortable. Just have a conversation with them. You know, ask them about what they've been up to lately and get them comfortable. Make sure all the audio stuff sounds okay. Solve those problems if you can. And that's another great reason to get on a little bit early. Because if you say, hey, we're going to start recording at 10:30, but let's jump on a call at 10 just to check everything, just to troubleshoot anything. I'm available if you have any questions. I think that's a great way to catch some of those problems, especially if you're streaming a live show. But that gives you some time to hear what they sound like, to let them ask you questions, to get everything sorted out. And then you're not going to be rushed when it's time to record or when it's time to stream live. All right. So, okay. Sam asked me, what do you do to doctor crappy audio? You spend 3 years trying to learn how to fix it in Logic Pro 10. And then you realize that there's not really a good way to fix it. There's a certain level. There's things I can do to make crappy audio sound not awful, but you can't make it sound good. I think the biggest problems I end up fixing are, and I have to talk about microphones a little bit, the cheaper USB microphones and like the built-in MacBook. And this has a lot to do with the room you're recording in. Well, and how close you are to the microphone too. There's so many factors, input gain levels. But usually what it is that someone will, the biggest problems I think are with the built-in computer or MacBook microphones. And what happens is that when someone's talking to someone on Skype, they may be wearing headphones, but they're sitting, you know, 3, 4, 5 feet away from the computer, which means that, and I've talked about the proximity effect before, the closer you are to a microphone, the warmer you sound, the more bass is picked up. And that, you know, that sounds better. But Danielle said it's much better to get good audio first than to try and fix bad audio later. Bad audio will never sound good no matter how much software you have. That is absolutely true. Absolutely true. But I've got a couple plugins that I use to solve some of the problems that I have when someone sends me a crappy track. A poorly recorded track. I talked about this in episode 4. The main plugins I use are EQ and compressors. And EQ allows me to boost or remove certain bits of the frequency range if like there's the S's sound harsh. That's generally a lot of energy between 5,000 hertz and 10,000. And so I can kind of reduce the sections that sound too loud. That's generally what I use an EQ for. And the compressor just can control the very loudest parts of the track and then bring up the quieter parts of the track so everything sounds more even. So those are the two plugins I use the most. Another plugin I've been using a lot lately is iZotope's RX4 plugin, a dialogue denoiser, which just automatically removes a bunch of background noise. So like fans in the background. It doesn't really do people talking in the background very well, but it can remove a lot of the hiss and kind of the background noise out of a track. That's been a lifesaver. I wish I'd bought that plugin when I first started. The Declipper plugin from iZotope as well. That happens when someone is recording maybe too close to a microphone or just too loud. They're overloading the microphone and causing clipping. And that's, you have to adjust your input gain to get those right. But the Declipper fixes the distortion and prevents it from sounding really terrible. So that's another plugin that I really, really like and I really use a lot. But yeah, I think the most important things if you're going to be fixing audio yourself that you get from people is learning how to do the EQ and learning how to do the compressor. And at some point, I have two screencasts on both of those between 10 and 20 minutes each where I try to explain them in a lot of detail on my YouTube channel. So I'll include links to those in the show notes. But it is much better to get great sounding audio, do the work up front, and you'll have to do less work later. All right. Albert asks, can we get a table graphic of frequencies to watch out for in terms of mixing? I would say, yeah, actually, I can tell you a couple real quick because I usually, there are a few trouble spots that I usually hear. First is somewhere around the 400 hertz range, and this is kind of low mid-range. It's usually a little bit of rumble. So it can kind of make a track sound muddy. And another one is around 2000 hertz, and this, or 2200 a lot of the times too. It's hard to say exactly because every voice, every room, every microphone records frequencies in a little bit different way. So you could put two people in the same room on the same microphone, and the frequencies that get recorded are going to be different for each of them because their voices are different. Or you could put the same person in the same room on two different microphones, and it's going to be different. Or you could get the same person in the same microphone in two different rooms, and it'll be different because of the way the sound bounces off the walls and comes back into the microphone. So the thing you have to do is train yourself to, one, look at an EQ graph, an analyzer in your EQ plugin. A lot of EQ plugins have this, and see which frequencies are spiking up really high. Or if you can just listen to it and say, okay, are there things that don't sound right? Does this track sound too muddy? Well, then you've got a problem in the low end. Does this track sound too harsh? Then you've got a problem in the high end. If every time your guest says something with an S in it, does that kind of hurt my ear a little bit? Well, that's a problem in the high end, probably around 5K. So then you have to go in and loop that section and then do a cut in the EQ to remove some of the energy out of that frequency range, which will then balance the track out a little bit more and solve your problem. Maybe not solve the problem, but at least fix it a little bit. All right. Another question. Levi asked, what is your approach to doing these? I'm assuming you're talking about interviews over phone calls. Phone calls are tricky. I personally wouldn't do it. I'm not going to say I don't recommend it, but phone calls are very, very compressed and they have a the phone lines have a very narrow frequency range, so you're not getting the full spectrum of someone's voice. You're getting like half of it, basically, just the mid-range. So it's going to sound like a phone call. If the person has a good phone line, if they have a good connection, then it might sound okay, but it's still going to sound like a phone call, and there's not much you can do about it. Cell phones can be a nightmare, depending on, you know, it really has a lot to do with where the person is, how good their connection is, what company they're using. But that's, yeah, that's really, really tricky. I would try to have a conversation and see if there's any way you could get them to have some kind of USB headset and a computer to record a track on. But Levi specified that he meant recording locally, but using the phone call instead of Skype. Sure, that works. Cool. So I want to say, if you guys want to help me out, if you enjoyed the show, please, please, please leave me a review in iTunes. Got some good ones for a while, but they've kind of started to die off, and that makes me sad. Also, if you have some questions, I'd love to get emails from you. I know a lot of people don't like emails, but I actually really enjoy hearing from you guys. You can find me at aaron@thepodcastdude.com. Rather, that's my email address. My website is just thepodcastdude.com. Check it out. Check out some of the previous shows. And if you want to join the Sean West community, I think you should. It supports me. It supports the whole network. It's a great place to hang out and talk about audio, nerd out about this stuff. We have a good time in here. I'm always learning stuff, sometimes about audio, but just in general. And if you're the kind of person that wants to learn and talk to other people who are still in the process, I know one of the things that some people have mentioned about the Sean West community, they're afraid that they're going to go in there and they're going to be the newbie, or they're going to be the inexperienced guy that doesn't know anything. That is not the case. Everyone in this community, everyone that hangs out in the chat and on the forums, we're all learning stuff. I'm still learning stuff about podcasting. I'm not an expert. There's tons of things I wish I could do better, but the point is that we're showing up and we're helping each other, and we're talking about this stuff, and we're discussing it, and we're working it out, and we're helping each other solve these problems. So if you're interested in that, check out seanwest.com/community. It's the greatest thing in the world, man. Love it. All right. Thank you guys for listening today. Big show. Thanks for showing up. I'll talk to you later. After show. I love that music. I don't know. I wrote a blog post the other week about getting hired as a full-time podcast editor for Sean, employee of Sean West. So I don't know, you know, I don't know if you guys want me to read that or not. Actually, I do what I want, so I'm going to read it. If you guys don't want to hear me talk about joining the Sean West team, then you just turn the show off right now. I don't even care. Sean wants me to. I mean, I was going to do it anyways, but if Sean wants me to. Okay. You can actually find this on aarondowd.com, but I'm going to read it to you because I think that's really interesting. Sean McCabe asked me in early 2015 if I was interested in becoming an employee of Sean West. And I've been editing the Sean West podcast as a contractor since August of 2014. And with the addition of the Sean West Network that started earlier this year, there's now 4 shows in total, with a 5th and maybe 6th on the way. I'm going to have to talk to Justin and see what's up with that. But there are basically, besides my show, there are 5 weekly shows a week on the Sean West Network. Excuse me. In addition to my show, there are 5. So 5 total. But they're longer shows, longer form shows. So there's enough to keep me busy. And there's a lot of other things too. So, but there aren't many jobs that meet the criteria I have. As someone who struggles with ADD, I need a job that I can do well, but also one that challenges me and gives me room to grow and learn new things. Now, I believe that my position at Sean West, which is still a small evolving company and team, will be ideal for me. And I'll admit that I have a hard time with long, large projects with a lot of small details. And one of the reasons I enjoy editing podcasts is that I typically don't have to spend more than a few hours on each project, and they are always different. My brain needs stimulation and learning opportunities, and podcasts provide that. I also love working remotely. I never liked the process of commuting, waking up, getting dressed, driving, being in one place for a set amount of time, and then coming home always seemed like a waste of time to me. I don't like office environments either. I prefer to work at home. I prefer to work at coffee shops. I like having the flexibility to go somewhere new when I need a new perspective. Being a touring musician is still a goal of mine, so I also need a job that would allow me to work while traveling. I believe in the work that Sean and the Sean West team are doing. His focus is on creating high-quality content that helps people and selling valuable products at a price that reflects the amount of care and attention that went into them. So his philosophy, if I could describe it, would be focus on the quality and make the thing great, charge a fair price instead of competing in a race to the bottom for the lowest price, discounting your products or selling ads. That's a philosophy I agree with. I've told people for a long time that I wanted to be a freelancer. I wanted to work for myself, set my own hours, be my own boss. For some of you, and especially for me for a long time, it sounded ideal, but I found out that freelancing comes with its own set of challenges. It's not all magical days full of relaxation and sunshine. It has ups and downs just like any other job. And I'm not writing this to complain or convince you to stick with your day job. Freelancing for the past year has been the most fulfilling work experience I've ever had. There's no better feeling than knowing, well, there's no better feeling to me than knowing that my actions and my work directly influences how much money I'll have in the bank account next month. As a freelancer, I have direct control over the outcome of my business. If I succeed, I can take all the credit. If I fail, I have no one else to blame. The hardest part of accepting Sean's job offer was giving up that control and that responsibility, but I've never met or known someone as capable as Sean is. In my year of freelancing, I learned that there are a lot of small administrative things that you have to do every week that take up a lot of time. On a good week, I only got paid for roughly 30 to 50% of the hours I actually worked. The time I spent editing podcasts and writing show notes was only about half of my workload, and initially, I didn't charge enough to cover the rest of the time. The result was that I worked 40 to 60 hours a week and really only got paid for 20. I underestimated how much time projects would take and how much I would have to save for taxes, and I didn't quote potential clients a high enough price. This was a mistake on my part. I recently raised prices to compensate, and it's a lesson that I'm glad I learned. If I had never tried to make it on my own, I would have never been able to appreciate how hard running a business is or how many tiny moving parts there are. So working as a part of the Sean West team will allow me to focus on doing the things I'm great at, and I'll be able to help the other amazing team members in ways we haven't even discovered yet. That opportunity for growth is incredibly exciting for me, and I'm ready to dive into this new adventure. So I'll be working with my current clients to help them find a new editor for their podcasts. I have a friend who has experience with editing podcasts that I'll be recommending to them and working closely with to make sure that none of my clients are left hanging. I have to say I'm incredibly grateful to all the people who gave me a shot and the time to learn and get good at my craft. Most especially, I want to thank Chris Coyer, Dave Rupert, Josh Long, Cameron Mall, Dan Benjamin, and Sean McCabe. I wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for them. They have my eternal gratitude. I'm sorry. They have my eternal gratitude, and they are awesome people. So this is the start of a new chapter in my life. Let's do it. Thank you guys for listening. Let me know if you have any more questions. Aaron@thepodcastdude.com. I will see you next time.